Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. We've been on a series called Beneath the Surface, and we've dealt with the seeing what is not visible. We've talked about letting go of the past. We've talked about last week serving the Lord from an area of weakness and vulnerability. And so today, this is probably my second favorite passage of Scripture. It says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, bless the reading of your word. Do what only you can do, and that is make it come alive in the hearts and minds of your people, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Today I want to deal with the gift of limits. Wait a minute, Pastor, we sing the song, No Limits. I see it. No, I want to talk about the gift of limits. Because God does put some limits on us, and it's for our good and for our well-being. So let's talk about it. I'm going to go real fast. If you'll write real fast, if you'll amen real fast, I'll talk real fast, and we'll get through this real fast. Amen. So perfect. The Bible says to what is the good, acceptable, and perfect. Perfect is means complete, means full grown, having reached the end or goal for which it was designed. Strong's Concordance gives us the example of an unfolding telescope that opens to its full strength capacity in effectiveness. So how do we, as followers of Jesus Christ, live in such a way that we walk in step with the Spirit so that we reach our full strength capacity and effectiveness? You know, I was talking with somebody earlier today in the back, and we were talking about how much of our brains that we use. Only about 3%, some people say. And I, you know, how many know some folks who don't use nearly 3%? How many sitting next to somebody? Don't raise your hand right now. But we don't use it. And I believe that there are so many of us Christians who do not use or do not, we are not effective because we haven't allowed God to have His perfect work in our life. We're not effective. We're not at full strength. We're not at full capacity. And one of the reasons is because of the fact we don't understand our own limits. See, as we live broken and vulnerable, we become increasingly aware of our limits. How many understands your own limits? See, we say we do, but we don't want to look at our limits because God places limits on our lives, but yet we don't want to look at that because it's negative. We think, and especially the older you get, how many of you over 50, because I'm not there yet. Man, I'm telling you, I'm pushing it hard, but I'm not there. But when anybody over 50 understands that in your mind, you can still do what you could do when you're 20. But you do that and your body tells you you're a fool. You know, you used to could work all day and then, and work all night and still have plenty of time and sleep 3 hours and get up and feel good. But now you do that and you think you're up, but you're still asleep. One of the hardest things to do is recognize our limitations. And we all have them. You know, as the older you get, you have to recognize your limitations. Doctor, it hurts when I do that. The doctor says, don't do that. Don't do it. So we've got to recognize our limitations. Now, point number one is this, and I'm going to go real fast. Jesus modeled a life lived within the Father's limits. Oh, Pastor. Yeah, yes, he did. He fully accepted his humanity and graciously received all the limitations that came with it. Because if he was going to be God, he had to come in human form, right? So he accepted the limitations that come with human form. He couldn't do as he's always done. He bought food, he traveled, he rested, and he slept like any other human being. Although his heart was to reach the world, Jesus honored the God-given limits of his mission and of his ministry. He didn't fulfill every need during his short earthly life. How do you know? The Bible says he could not do many miracles at one place because it was his hometown. Now, he did a lot of miracles. I mean, this book does not contain all the miracles that Jesus did. But I promise you, there are some things that Jesus didn't do, not because he couldn't do, but he just didn't do. How about the woman? How about when they come across blind Bartimaeus and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't you know that there were other people lined up? But nobody called out and nobody else recognized who he was. But he could have healed everybody, but he didn't. He healed everybody that asked him. He disappointed the crowds because the crowds expected of who he should be and what he should do. Yet he lived a full life, true and faithful to who he was and who he was called. He was able to say to his father in John chapter 17 verse 4, he said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you have given me to do. Boy, now how many of us can say that? We're hoping that when that day comes that Jesus will say, well done, welcome in thou good and faithful servant. But how many of us can say, God, I just want you to know that I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Then I've got to ask this question. How much of the work that we're doing is not from him, but from us? That's God's call to each of us to fulfill the work that he has given to us, not other people. Limits and boundaries also have to do with accepting God's authority. Adam and Eve failed the test of accepting God's limit and authority, but John the Baptist didn't. See, Adam and Eve, God said, don't touch the tree, but they still did, right? But yet, when the crowds that followed John the Baptist switched their allegiance to Jesus, John didn't become jealous as some of his followers did. John understood his limits, and in John 3:27, here's what he replied. He said, a person can receive only what is given from the Father. And some of us are trying to do things that we haven't been gifted and or called to do. And we wonder why we feel frustrated and why we feel out of place and out of joint. It might be because you're not fulfilling what God has called you to do, but you're doing what you want to do. Help me somebody. See, John was able to acknowledge and yield that Jesus' greater position and his own role as he was the messenger and not the savior. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you're the messenger, but you're not the savior. You can't save anybody, but you can talk about the savior. You can point people to the savior, but you're not the savior, and you can't save anybody. It's by his blood. Even if you die for them, it still doesn't save them. Only the blood of Jesus Christ saves. Though we are marked by the scars of our past and by the scars of our family life, we can learn to see how God will use our limits for his glory. God can use my pain. God can use my limit for his glory. How do you say that? Because as you get to know people, you begin to say, man, if God can use him, surely he could use me. When you begin to see their imperfections, you say, man, if God can use them, hallelujah, there's room for me. Now, let me tell you, how many of you ever heard about burnout? And boy, this was a big topic not too long ago, and it's still in our minds and hearts. But burnout is a result of giving what you do not possess. Let that sink in. Burnout is a result of giving what you do not possess. And let me tell you something. If you will allow people will take and take and take from you. They still love you, but there's so many people that you might know. We have Instagram. We have message. We have texting. We have instant message. We got Facebook. We've got all these other social medias. And if you're not careful, people will always take from you. You know why? Because we are never, help me somebody, we are never out from under where people can get a hold of us. I had a young man call me at 7:30 on Saturday morning. He texted me, and I texted him back. I said, son, unless you're hurt or dying, don't call me or text me on a Saturday morning at 7:30. It's my only day to sleep in, and 7:30 is not sleeping in. Amen. Right? All right, so burnout is a result of giving what we don't possess. Point number two is this. We need to understand limits. We need to understand, after Jesus said, I love this, listen to this. After Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business in Luke 2:49, he drops off the radar for 20 years before his final 3 years of ministry. I must be about the Father's business. Well, what did he do? Well, I'm sure he prepared, but he wasn't visible. I must be about the Father's business. But yet he drops off the radar. He went to the desert where Satan tempted him to act outside of God's plan in Matthew chapter 4. Yet, God says in Mark 1, 11, that I am well pleased. Though he could have, now when, in Matthew 4, when the devil takes him out to the desert and tempts him, he could have done everything that Satan suggested, but Jesus resisted because it was not in God's timing. Oh, some of y'all didn't get it. It is not in God's timing. God's answer to us sometimes is not no, it's not now. It might not be no, it might be not now, because you're not ready, it's not ready, the situation's not ready. You gotta know what the timing of God. Here's what Isaiah said, I think it's 51:10. For the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may give a word in due season to him that is weary. That you got to do it in due season. Not in your season, in due season. Jesus didn't heal everybody. He didn't let everyone follow him as part of the group of disciples. He whittled the crowd with his teaching. He required commitment, and he handpicked his disciples. Now listen to this. He didn't pursue the crowds who left him. And sometimes he took a break from the crowds who followed him. You got to know your limits. You got to know your limits. He at the end of his life, here's what he prayed. I have completed the work you gave me to do in John chapter 6. You know, sometimes I hear, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And it's presented in this way. Think nothing of yourself ever. That's not the way it's presented. That's not what the Word of God teaches. That sometimes, you know, what about if Pastor Cash, who is now in his retirement part, he's part retired. But what if Pastor Cash would have burned out too soon? The people that he ministers to on a daily basis now would have missed out on the ministry that God had given him. And what some of us, well, bless God, and I understand, and I say this, I would rather burn out than rust out. Come on, somebody. But beyond, I don't want to rust out and I don't want to burn out. I want to live out the plan of God in my life. Amen. You know, I jokingly say, but yet I'm not joking, but I do say it, that I refuse, I'm not going to die for you and I'm not going to let you kill me. Amen. What do you mean? You got to know your limits. I know it's bad, and it happens about once a year right now, when my wife calls the office and says, don't schedule anybody for counseling with Pastor. I don't do it. She does. She don't usually tell me when she does it. I look around and I don't have any meetings for a week or so. I was like, man, nobody wants to see me. And I don't know that, but she just said no, because she knows I'm not in a place to give good advice, because I haven't recharged my batteries, and what I'm giving people is out of my emptiness instead of out of my fullness. My God, somebody hear me. I'm preaching to somebody. I'm talking about me, but I'm talking about you. And sometimes we give out of emptiness. And you know what happens? As you give and give out of emptiness, you become resentful. Part of the sacrifice is doing the hard work of pulling back. Part of the hard work is resting, not doing certain things because it's not what God has called you to do, at least for the moment. You know what? Listen to me. If I would allow it, my days would be filled every day of the week. But I won't allow it. I put out blocks of time. You know, I had somebody said, Pastor, I need to see you this week. I said, well, I can meet you on Thursday. I gave him a time. He said, well, I can't do that. But how about Friday? I said, no, Friday's my day off. What? You mean you won't meet with me on your day off? No, I won't. Yeah. Now, sometimes, you know, I make exceptions, but this one, I'm not. Why? Because I'm off. Why? Because if I don't take some time off, when I meet with him, it ain't going to be good. You got to know your limits. You got to know your limitations. Am I talking to anybody? All right. Here, point number three. Boy, I'm trying to hurry. Point number three is this. Steward yourself. Steward yourself. When Jesus had the Last Supper with the disciples and they broke the bread and drank the wine, Jesus noted that his body would be broken and his blood be spilled out for them. And he meant this in a very literal sense when he said, do this in remembrance of me. And I think it had two levels of meaning. One, I believe he said, repeat this ceremony so that you do not forget my sacrifice. Do you know, some people just want to be a martyr. But what good is a martyr if you're dead? But then secondly, he said, I believe he said this because he said, be broken and spilled out for others. And when you do that, you will need times of renewal. Now you got to be renewed. Well, bless God, Jesus renews me. Yes, he does. But do you give him time to renew you? You know, listen, I do it and I go through drive through and I eat like that sometimes, but I prefer to have real food. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, I refer to go to, you know, either have my wife or have some granny somewhere cook a decent meal with some good food, you know, with some bacon grease in it, you know. Cause I'm Southern and bacon grease makes everything better. Hallelujah. So I like some real food, not just canned food, right? So you need to understand that Jesus was broken and spilled out. However, sometimes he got away from folks in order to renew. Now, Pastor, why are you saying all this? Because I'm trying to get us to understand. Now, there are some people who have never engaged ministry and you need to engage. Well, that's why I don't engage right there, because of what you're talking about. Well, you're not fulfilling the will of God in your life. See, when I go on missions trips, and I have to make sure, and I didn't do a good job this last time I went, because I got sick, because I flew, you know, 12 hours overnight. You know, I don't sleep on a plane. It's just, why? Because are you scared? No, I'm not scared. I don't sleep because I don't want to disturb everybody else, because when I'm sitting up, I usually snore and I wake myself up. By the time I go off, and so I don't sleep well. And so as soon as I got in, we drove 4 hours to the meeting place. Then I preached that night. I got up the next morning and I preached. I preached again that night. And then we drove another 4 hours to another place. And then, you know, we were eating. And the time difference and the food is different and the culture is different. The people in Uruguay, they eat at 10 o'clock at night. Literally, that's the time that they eat dinner. You know why? Because their kids, some of their high schoolers, they don't go to school till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so they'll go to school at 10. I went by one school at 10:30. They were getting out of school for teenagers. So it's just a whole different culture, a whole different lifestyle. And but what I did not rest like I should have. I preached way too much and didn't rest. And you know what happened? I got sick. And you know why? But I feel guilty at times because I feel like I am over here. I should be ministering every day. I shouldn't have time to rest because, bless God, I'm here. You know, use me. But I didn't say abuse me. But that's what happened this past time. That's why you need to know your own limits. Have you ever asked these questions? Why do I always feel as if there is too little time and too much to do? Why do I always feel chronically pressured and restless in my interior? Why does my life always have so little flexibility and margin? Why do I never feel finished meeting needs? Is it possible that you have not surrendered your priorities and your goals to Christ? Maybe you're driven. I'm a very driven man. I'm a very ambitious man. I want to, anything that I do, I want to do well. And so I have to be careful not to drive myself. It's possible that my priorities may get wrong, and so is yours. Your priority is on this when God wants it to be on this. It's possible that you have unrealistic expectations of people, or you are just selfish. Listen, it's possible, but maybe you just need a break from. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. We take a break and it feels so good, we don't want to go back. How many's ever went on vacation and thought, I could get used to this? Yeah. You know, when my wife and I and my children went to Hawaii, we went there and it was great. We stayed a whole week, 7 days, and we were there. And I was like, man, I could get used to this. But there's a problem. What's the problem? Is I don't have enough money to live like that. And especially if I stay on vacation. Right? So you got to know your limitations. If you live sacrificially for others, you will need times to be renewed and filled again. Jesus himself modeled this. Now, I've said this many times, but we have so many new people. And let me just tell you, some folks years ago, because I always come into the service a little late, and people go, Pastor, why are you always late? I'm never late. I was here at 5:30 this morning. I'm hardly ever late. I'm always here. Now, but Pastor, let me tell you why. Because what I don't want to do, I do want to meet you, and I do like doing that. But what I don't want to do is get here and then you dump on me before I get into the pulpit. Pastor, you don't mean that about me. Yeah, I do. You know why? Because what I'm going to preach, it might be for you. But now that you done told me your stuff, you're saying, oh, he's saying that just to me. Even though I had it planned, you know, yesterday or the day before. Oh, he's just saying that right to me because, hey, we talked right before service and he told me this, blah, 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 blah. You know? So I'll meet you after service and I'll talk with you. Now, I'm not going to have no counseling session after service, but I want to get to meet. But that's why I do that, because I know my limitations. I want to get up here free of the stuff that I know about people and just preach the Word of God. And let the Word of God deal with you. Let the Word of God convict you, not me. All right? Listen to this statement. True self-care is not a selfish act. It's a good stewardship. You got to take care of yourself. It's within God's boundaries that you reach and I reach our full strength capacity, our full strength accepted or effectiveness. Sometimes we have to see opportunities and not become involved. None of us, hear me closely, I don't think I have this one on there. Oh, I do, thank you, Jesus. None of us can help everybody, or none of us can do everything. Hallelujah. You know why we're not involved in every ministry in Citrus County? Because we can only do what we can do. Right? We choose the ministries we're involved in. Do you know how many calls we get every week for people like the Gideons or other ministries to come in and present? And we don't take them all. Why? Because we can only do what we can do. Does that make you feel bad? Sometimes it makes me, they try to make me feel bad. But as long as we listen to Christ and let God lead us, then we can be free from it. Amen. So, but here's the trouble. Everybody can do something, but not everybody can do everything. You know, everybody can do something. You might not be able to play the piano. You might not can play. And if you can't, we don't want you trying on Sunday morning. But you can do something. God raises up people for such a time as this. You didn't know your time. You know, I looked up here this morning and I seen some new faces up there. I was like, hallelujah, I like that. Can they sing? Sure. How do you know? Because they wouldn't be up here if they couldn't. Number four, steward your relationships. Steward your relationships. At some point, and in some way, you're going to need to limit the access and influence of people around you. Because that's what Jesus did. Not everybody needs always all access to you. All right? There's a guy that left our church. And I think he's come back now. I'm not sure. I'll check in the 11 o'clock service. I won't be able to use this story. But he left our church because of this. He said, Pastor, can I have your cell phone number? And I was like, for what? He said, well, just in case I want to call and talk. I was like, no. You won't give me your cell phone number? I said, no. You can call the office. But Pastor, sometimes I just want to talk. I said, and sometimes I don't want to talk. Amen? Now, some of you are thinking, boy, you're really mean, Pastor. No, I'm trying to steward relationships because if everybody has all access, then I'm going to have to ignore some phone calls, and I do now. No, Pastor, you don't ignore mine. No, never yours. But there are times you can ask our secretaries. There are times, especially on Thursday, when I'm working on Sunday, I'll say, I'm not taking any calls unless it's from my wife. Why? Because you don't ever shut your wife out. Never, ever, ever, ever. When my wife comes to my office, she don't knock on my door. She just comes in. Why? Because she's the queen. Right? Hallelujah. Not everyone was a disciple of Christ. Not everyone was part of the 12 apostles. Not everyone had a conversation with him. He left some towns. He left some situations. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Because Jesus is a friend of sinners. And none of us are righteous to simply pull away from somebody because they struggle with sin. That would be the height of hypocrisy. Well, I'm not going to associate with you because you struggle with sin. Well, guess what? They associate with you and you struggle with sin. No, I don't. You struggle with lying then. Everybody struggles with something. May not be today, but I guarantee you tomorrow or the next day, everybody is going to struggle with something. Because you're tempted doesn't make it sin. If you give in to it, that's when it becomes sin. All right? Not all of us are righteous. And this is not meant to be an excuse to avoid people because you find them hard to love. We call them EGR, extra grace required. How many know some hard to love people? How many sitting next to something? No, don't raise your hand. It'll be harder to love. But there are some situations that if we remain too closely connected, our faith and our effectiveness will be compromised. Because some people you must experience in small doses. Now, Pastor, that's ugly. I'm just saying. You know, I know that when my wife says that my grace meter is down, when I'm tapped out, she understands that she knows it when I don't see it. You know it's bad when your kids see it. Dad, you just wiped, ain't you? So when you need to understand your own limits. And there are some types of people that you don't need to be around when you understand that you're hitting your limit. You know what I'm talking about? Well, if they say one thing to me today, I'm just going to let them have it. I am not in the mood for this. I'm just going to blah. Now, y'all, some of y'all sitting there like y'all all righteous and everything. It's all right. I'm going to talk to your kids. The Bible gives us some examples. I'll be gone by the time you get there, but write them down. Proverbs 22:24. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. 1 Corinthians 15:32-33. And if there is no resurrection, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. How about Proverbs 14:7? Escape quickly from the company of fools. Hate truth and love trouble. You know those people who always, their life is a Jerry Springer episode. I don't have time for Jerry. I don't watch Jerry, and I ain't gonna let you bring Jerry up in my house. The Bible says they're a waste of your time and a waste of your words. Here's another one. Matthew 10:14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Paul did it twice in Acts chapter 13, again in Acts chapter 16. You cannot help everybody, but you can help somebody. Now, this is not about the demands of being a friend or a mentor. This is specifically about people who will tempt us to sin. There are people that you need to stay away from because they tempt you to sin. Instead of pulling them up, they pull you down. And you need to identify who they are. And you go, well, bless God, I'm stronger now. And every time they pull you down. So what do you need to do? You need to distance yourself. You need to get around some people who lift you up. Because let me tell you something. I don't have time to do it, but let me tell you. If you got three or four people holding you up, then it's a lot harder for one just to pull you down. That's why you need some good men and women of God in your life holding you accountable and keeping you up. All right? So I'm talking about those people who teach us to sin, who teach a false gospel, who waste our calling. God doesn't give up on people, and we shouldn't either. However, Jesus himself had circles of friends. And understand, don't be upset over it. Understand that you're in a circle, you just might not know which circle it is. His closest disciples were very carefully chosen. Many others were friends, but they weren't in his inner circle. Others he preached to from a distance, and others he approached and then left when he realized the soil of their hearts were hard. Number five. Well, I got two more. I'm supposed to be done. Listen quickly. Steward your time. Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 5:15. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time was a phrase used by merchants to talk about timely business investments. Now, what we need to do, church, is we need to say no to some things so we can say yes to God things. All right? Think of it. Think of all the local ministries. I've already dealt with this. Think about all the local ministries that we could say yes. Every local ministry that I can think of is a good ministry. But we can't do them all. So you have to pick and choose. You know what? Everything that we give you an opportunity to give in. You can't give to everything. But you can, what touches your heart? What touches your soul? What God pricks you, what God deals with you. That's what you do. Now your tithe, you ain't got to pray about that. But the other areas of offerings, that's what you allow God to lead and guide you. Well, I don't have anything to give. Well, good, guess what? God don't ask you to give what you don't have. Well, I don't have my tithe. No, that's a different story. Don't make me preach there. You had it, you just bent it. All right. We say no. What's my next one? We say no to wasting our free time so we can say yes to preparing ourselves for future opportunities. Some of us are not ready when God says yes because we've been wasting all of our free time. You can't do everything other people want you to do. Hey, what you got planned tomorrow? You know what that means? That they got something planned for you if you don't. That's exactly what that means. How do you know? Because I use it all the time. Hey, are you busy tomorrow? Well, I don't know, maybe. Well, I wanted to take you out to lunch. Oh, yeah, I'm free, sure, absolutely. Right? There are times you must say, I can't meet for lunch. There are times that you go, you know, I just can't return that email right now. I'll have to get to it a little bit later. I can't have that conversation right now. You've got to place limits on relationships because time is not a renewable resource for us. You can't renew time. You got to redeem time. What's my next one? I'm trying not to look because I'll preach. Steward your input. Oh, I got to hit that real quick. You got to steward what comes in. Garbage in, garbage out. Steward what comes in. Now, Philippians 4:8, most of us know the scripture, but I want to hit it. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul loved the word think because he used it 27 times in his letters. It means that there are some things that should be weightier that we should meditate on, and those things that should form us and form us more than others should form us, right? So some things, and I'm almost done, some things are worth thinking on, and we just read that list from Philippians 4:8. We ought to think on these things, but then there are some things never worth thinking on, like what, sin? Why? Because if you think on it long enough, your mind goes to work to complete what you're thinking on. As a man thinketh, so is he. Right? All right, then some things are worth thinking on for a season or a reason. That's when you got to use your discerner. Paul was clearly versed in classical Greek and Roman literature and arts. He quoted Greek writers all the time, numerous times, and he was aware of the writings without succumbing to it. You know, there are things that I read that I don't agree with, then why do you read them? I read them to understand the times in which we live. But you got to be careful that not everything that you read affects and or causes you to meditate on them to cause you to change your thinking on doctrine and or theology. We should know our culture. We should understand the times and know what to do. But some things I should never think on, and maybe you can think on them, but I can't. What does that mean? That just simply means this, that everybody in this place has landmines, weak places. Oh, Pastor, you don't have weak places, do you? Sure, you keep thinking that. Everybody has a weak place. And if you think on those areas, you will act on them. So you need to know what your weak areas are. Let's just say, I don't think it is a sin, but let's just say that kissing a horse was a sin. I think it can be a sin, but, you know, it's according to how far you want to take it. You weirdo. But if it was, you know, you wouldn't think about that. You know, here's what I'm trying to say. I know people who can't go to Crackers restaurant on a Saturday night when they're having karaoke. Some of you are going, well, that's silly. Oh, it might be for you. But for them, it's a real situation. Because before Christ, that's where they used to go and do the karaoke and party and drink and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's silly. Well, they might think what yours is silly, but that's why I'm saying you got to use your discernment and say, God, what are my limits? What are my weaknesses? You know, it's like y'all think I make some of this stuff up. And every once in a while, I might embellish, but I'm not. I had a person tell me one time, said, Lord, Pastor, I think the Lord's calling me to go minister and witness at the nudist colony. I said, you, my sir, are an idiot. Well, you know, Pastor, I had a problem with pornography. Let's think this through. You have a problem with pornography, but now you're going to go look at naked people. And let me just say, I've never been there. However, they're naked. And most people who go to a nudist colony have no reason on earth to be naked. Because nobody wants to see all that. Ain't nobody got time for that. So you saying you don't think God's called me? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think God's called you to that. But see, but now we're laughing and we're having a good joke, a good laugh over it. But that's what the devil does. He takes your weakness and turns it into a godly thing. I'm going to go minister. Yeah. I'm going to go witness. Unless you can do it blindfolded, you probably don't need to. All right, I'm done. If you're easily influenced in an area, make sure you stay away from that area. Embrace the gift of limits. That I can't do everything. But don't stop there. I can do something. And what is that something that God is calling you to do? Stand to your feet.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.